You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles, go to the book of Gospel of Luke.
So glad you're in church tonight, and you fellows, you just stay a minute. We'll have you help me with a little project, and then we'll get you to go down and sit down. We're looking at the attributes of a good Christian. One of the attributes of a good Christian is that you're awaiting the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming again, class. By the way, this class is full of teenagers and adults. All the children are out tonight, but I'm so glad that you're here. But Jesus is coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be soon. You know, how much worse can it get? I mean, it's to the point I never, ever in the wildest dreams thought we'd be living like this. But soon and very soon. We're going to go see the King. The Otavo girl sang about that on Sunday night. So, a good Christian, number one, what is awaiting the... That was dead. Soon return. Secondly, a good Christian does what? He prays. Bobby Robertson, pray. I gave you that. He prayed that night. I'll never forget his prayer. God, help us to be real. Help us to confess our sins. Help us to walk humbly. And that was just, that'll be part of our fiber. Every one of us ought to walk humbly. You won't have problems with people. Oh, I mean the unsaveders, but I mean with one another, you won't have problems when you walk humbly before God. You say, well, someone's working against me. No, it all works out. Don't get all worked up. Then last week we saw that a good Christian lives for others. Look all around you. Find someone in need. Help somebody today, though it be small. Some neighborly deed. Help somebody today. I think you'll see our text tonight, and we'll use several texts, but we'll start with this one. In Luke chapter 19, verse number, Luke 19, I'll wait till you get there. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10. Let's read it together. Luke 19, 10. Ready? Begin. For the Son of Man, Jesus is always after souls. And a good Christian always is soul conscious. You've heard this story so many times. I'll try to abbreviate it for our new students and new people that are here. You've not heard it. But I went through Bible college, and I was the president of our class, freshman class. I was the president of the student body. I was the president of the inner society. I had some good positions. I got an A+ in personal evangelism my freshman year. You had to get every punctuation. If you got a punctuation wrong, you missed the test. I got A+ in that class. But I was in torment all through college. I knew God wanted me in the ministry. I didn't know what, I didn't think a pastor, but I just knew God wanted me in the ministry. But my freshman year, I went out door knocking, I gave tracts, but I didn't know how to win anybody to Christ. I'd never seen it done before. And it agonized me. My sophomore year, I thought, well, I'm gonna catch hold of this, and it never caught hold. I opened up a church with some fellas in Platteville, Wisconsin. And I'd go in the dormitories and on the University of Wisconsin. You could just go in the dorms those days. And I went in the dorms, I knocked on doors, I passed tracts. I didn't know how to win anybody. They sent me over to Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, and it was a larger church. And I tried to win souls. I didn't know how. I was a senior in college. I was the president of the student body, the president of the inner society, the president of our freshman class, and I was in torment because I knew I didn't know how to win a soul to Christ. I went on staff for my father-in-law. I won one person to Christ, and that was just by accident. I came to work at a church, and in working in that church, the pastor said, "Now, Brother Jack, you're here, and I want you to take Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I want you to take this week off. And I want you to get your bank account opened up. I want you to get a place to live. I want you to set up your house. I want to make sure you go grocery shopping with your wife and just get set up. But be at men's prayer on Saturday night. Every deacon had to be at men's prayer. Every staff member had to be at prayer. It was a big crowd, probably about 80 to 100 men. And it began to go around the room. Fuller, how's your decisions for tomorrow? Who'd you win to Christ this week? Who'd you win to Christ this week? Who'd you win? And I thought, is this going to be every week? And I had my answer, Brother Flood, already because, you know, he told me to take the week off. And I said, when he asked me, I said, you know, you told me to get set up with my house. He goes, I know that, but you certainly won someone to Christ, didn't you? I said, no, sir. He said, you're picking up a paycheck and you haven't won anybody to Christ? Man, I tell you what, it was tense. The next week on Thursday, I tried Monday. I didn't know how to do it. I tried Tuesday. I tried Wednesday. And now you folks are way ahead of me. We've got teenagers that know how to win souls to Christ. We've got children that can win souls to Christ. We've got people in this church. I just didn't know how to do it. I'd never seen it done. And on Thursday night, I'll never forget, I came and all the men, all the people were going out souling in. Pastor said, Brother Jack, who are you taking with you to train? I said, no one. He goes, never come to soul winning without bringing someone with you to train them. I thought, what? I don't have anything to train. And I literally prayed about getting out of the ministry because I said, I can't win anybody. I don't know how. Tony Pizzano is now our missionary for the last 50 years in Mexico. Tony Pizzano was a deacon. He didn't work for IBM, but I want to say he worked for IBM. And he said, hey, Brother Jack, you go with me. Pastor said, Tony, take Jack out. And I'll never forget that night. We were over here, and there were some apartments, and a boy was riding the bicycle, and he got in front of the bicycle, and he stopped on the handlebars. He said, stop, boys. You don't do that nowadays. You don't do that to children. You're going to be a predator or something. But he stopped them. And he said, what's your name? He said, Cornbread. He said, what's your name? He said, Cornbread. Well, Cornbread, I'm glad to meet you. And he talked to him. And, you know, I'll never forget that night. He said, Cornbread, you've heard this, and I'll finish it up. He said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? He looked up. I looked up. He goes, or would you go to hell? He looked down. I looked down. And he looked right at him. Or don't you know? That's all I needed. I knew the Romans wrote after. I just didn't know how to get started. I just didn't know how. And he said, I think I'm going to go to hell. And he led Cornbread and his brother. Can't remember his brother's name, but I remember Cornbread. And he said, and those boys both want to get saved. He said, boys, would you like to ask? He's nodding his head. I'm nodding my head. Would you like to ask Jesus to be your Savior? I never thought about asking that. You talk about dumb, Brother Everson. I wrote the book on dumb. I didn't know how to do it. But I saw him. I saw how he was starting to bring it home. And he said, would you like to ask Christ? And they said, yes. Well, then I knew what to do. You pray. Dear Father. And he prayed. I just saw it. That's all I why didn't I know that? Brother Sly, it was just natural with you. You got saved, and you just. But I never saw it done. I never saw it done in high school and elementary. I never saw it done. Do you know? That night, he said, "Let's go tell Mama," and she had oil cooking. A Hispanic lady, oil cooking, and he said, "Mama, shut the stove off. We want to talk to you about the Lord. Your boys just got saved. Isn't that wonderful?" She goes, "What does it mean?" And he said, well, we're from the church. Let me tell you, we sat on the couch, and he said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? He looked up, I looked up, you go to hell. And he did all that. And he said, let me tell you how. And he went through the same plan of salvation. And he said, wouldn't you like to get saved like your boys? She goes, I would. That was so simple. That was 52 years ago. I was an adult. I learned how to be a soul winner that night. I'm not as good as I should. I led three contractors to Christ during this last few months here. The last one was just last week. And it's been a wonderful thrill. And I try to win souls all the time. I'm passing tracts left and right. Amen. But that's the mission of God's people. Amen. A young boy, he received a gospel tract in America here. Oh, this is about 50 years ago. He was from China. And he had never heard of salvation. And he read about it and studied about it. And just a gospel tract. And he said, I want that. And he got saved. He got so burned for his mom and dad and sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles that he tried to write letters, but they couldn't comprehend all that took place. And so he worked a job and he saved his money and saved, and he got enough money to get over to China. And he told them all, and this whole family in time got saved, the whole family. He then had to work a job to get back to America because he wanted to come to the country that told him about salvation. And eventually he was able to come back. He's long gone now. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm part of a church that believes in rescuing the perishing. The bus kids, I love those bus kids. If we don't reach them, who's going to? I mean, if we don't love those kids and tell them the good news. I want to encourage you. The men are going to take these tracts right here. We're going to have the ushers help us. We're going to get one to every person in this auditorium, just one. And I'd like you before Sunday to take this gospel tract right here and just hand it to someone. You could just, now hopefully you can go through it. You could say, have you ever heard about going to heaven? And they might say, I don't have time right now. Or maybe another time. Oh, I'll read it tonight. But just pass one. Everybody ought to get one. Just pass it. And just maybe talk to someone. I wonder, out of all the tracts we're handing out tonight, I wonder how many souls are going to come to know Christ just through this one gospel tract. And to hear that Jesus Christ loves them. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin.
Amen.
You know, I think about, every person needs to hear the message one time. Years ago at Clyde Avenue, I was over there on a Saturday night before prayer. And years ago, I was talking to this boy from across the street. He was about 9 or 10. And I said to this boy, an American boy, I asked him about, do you know Jesus as your Savior? And he said, you know, I hear that name, Jesus Christ, but I don't know what it means. I said, you gone to church? He goes, I've never gone to church. What do you do at church? And we talked. You know, I took the gospel and won that boy to Christ that day. It's a thrill. We've had over 100,000 people walk the aisles of our church getting saved, trusting Christ. Over 20,000 baptized. Thank God for that. But our job is the souls of mankind. That's the job of this church. Time out. I'll get where I'm going. I am heartbroken over Charlie Kirk. I'm just heartbroken for that boy, for his wife, for his children. Just heartbroken. And I'm all for his ministry. I don't forget what it's called right now, but I'm all for it. But we're not going to start one here. I'm for having Turning Point. I'm for having them on every college campus. I'm for it. I'm for some of our kids attending if they want to. It's a political arena. It's a Bible-based, and I thank God for it. He and a founder, the Pentecostal preacher, founded it, and the Pentecostal preacher is still there. But it's a lot like the Moral Majority. I never joined the Moral Majority. Because our mission of this church is not handing out medicine on mission fields. That's not our job. Now, thank God for all the ministries and people that hand out medicine, but that's not our job. Our job's not to hand medicine. I thank God for the places that hand out food. I'm all for that. But that's not our job. The job of the New Testament local church is to win people to Jesus Christ. That's our task. That's why we run buses. That's why we have a Christian school. That's why we have a college. That's why we have worldwide missions to give hundreds of thousands of dollars every year to worldwide missions. Our job is to bring the lost. I'm not here to educate our people on the Federalist Papers. I love the Federalist Papers. You ought to read the Federalist Papers. The Federalist Papers were written before the Constitution, and they guided the Constitution through those Federalist Papers. I'm all for that. We're going to send, I don't know, flowers or money. We're going to send something for this funeral for Charlie Kirk from this church on Sunday. I'm for Charlie Kirk. I heard for Charlie that his family, I heard that his family's without a dad. I hope his ministry prospers. But that's not the purpose of this church. Our purpose is to take the gospel to the world. Our purpose is to have Lifeline Bible Class, have over 300 this Sunday, many of them lost, and present to them the salvation. And then after salvation is presented, they're going to have a 20-minute time of presenting eternal security, how once you're saved, you're always saved. And then they're going to have the joy of getting baptized and follow the Lord and then grow in grace. That's the purpose of this church, to win the lost to Jesus Christ. I think, look in your song book, page 106, I believe it is. Let's take a look at it, that page, 106. I never knew this song. I know every song in the song book. But I went to the Philippines years ago, and they shouted it out. Oh, they sang it out. It was so, I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. He's done so much for me. I want to aid the lost sinner to leave his erring way and be from bondage free. A soul winner for Jesus, a soul winner for Jesus. Oh, let me be each day a soul winner for Jesus, a soul winner for Jesus. He has done so much to me. I want to be a soul winner and bring the lost to Christ, that they His grace may know. I want to live for Christ forever and do His blessed will, because He loves us so. I want to be a soul winner for Jesus, till He calls for me to lay my burden down. I want to hear Him say, servant, you've gathered many sheaves, receive a starry crown. I want to be a soul winner. In your psalm book there, you can go back to page number 102. Dost thou not care, sing it with me, that millions are dying in sin and despair, waiting for someone to tell them of Jesus, yes, waiting everywhere, waiting for someone. Waiting for someone to bring them the light. Waiting for someone to tell them of Jesus, who cleanses from sin's dark night. Go back to page 100, will you? How about in this last one? The preachers are weary, the singers are tired, the church, as we know it, is losing its fire. Some are discouraged from bearing the load, but we must determine to keep pressing on, because it's just one more soul singing. We're to walk down the aisle, it'll be worth it. Good. There you go. Yes. That sounds great. That's good. We'll sing another stanza. Worth it all, that rescue, just one more soul sends the two. So preachers keep preaching,
and singers
so sing. Laymen. That sounds beautiful. That's good. Here we go. Sing for it. Just one.
More soul. We're to walk down the aisle.
be worth
every struggle.
It'd be worth every
mile.
A lifetime
of labor
is still worth it all. You know, I wonder, as you turn to Matthew chapter 9, I wonder if you'll just take this track and pray over it tonight. I wonder at the invitation, if you'll pray. Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. I wonder if you could just pray that God will direct your path, just to get that one track out. In the book of Matthew, in chapter number 9, and I want you to read with me, please, as Jesus is writing here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. And Jesus went about all the cities, we're talking about our prayer list. Every one of us ought to be praying for laborers.
Amen.
Turn with me to Mark chapter number 16, the Gospel of Mark. Let's go Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark chapter 16. I wonder if you could read our last words of our Lord as Mark chapter 16, verse number 5. The resurrection is taking place. He's ready to go to be ascended to heaven. And chapter 16, verse 15, he says this. Mark 16, 15. Ready? Read. And he said unto them,
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Look, if you could go with me to the Gospel of Luke, the next one, Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. As you turn to Luke chapter 19, we've already read it one time tonight. Verse number 10. Luke 19, 10. Ready? Begin. Why did Jesus come? To seek and to save that which is lost. Go with me to John chapter 4, and we won't turn anymore. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, the Bible said, Jesus saith, verse 34, to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me to finish his work. Verse 35, let's read it together. Ready? Say not ye, I think we know about the white fields. The grain is always supposed to be harvested when it's gold color. That's when it's just perfect. The gold is just right. You know, my wife and I took a ride up on the hills on Monday night up to Ed Levine Park and just went there and then came back. And the hills are so beautiful right now. They're so gold color. But the hills around here turn so green. I love the green and I love the gold. But before they really start to, when they really start to change, they turn gray. It looks so dirty. It looks so dingy. But right now they're so dry. And that's when you want to harvest the wheat, when they're gold color. But when the wheat gets to be white, it's really almost too late. You could blow on it and the seed goes because it's too late. You can still get the harvest and you can still use the harvest, but it's almost impossible. And God says, say not yet there are 4 months, then cometh harvest. Look on the fields. They're already white. It's almost too late.
Right.
You know, Brother Bridgman, I don't know when the Lord's coming again, but I don't see how it can get much worse. This thing is deep how wicked our nation is.
Amen.
The FBI has been weaponized. The CIA has been weaponized. We got these different parties, and it's just amazing the way that they think.
Right.
The people that are lauding the death of Charlie Clark on the news.
Right.
It's a shame. Amen. How could anybody laud the death of assassination on anybody? I did not vote for Biden. I wouldn't vote for him for dog catcher. But I tell you what, if someone took a bullet and shot him, it would grieve my heart.
Amen.
That would grieve me.
Yes, sir.
It would grieve me if someone took out Obama. I didn't vote for him. I would not vote for him. But you know, I look at what's happening in our country, and it seems like we're at the white harvest time.
Yes, sir.
That's about it. So little time, the harvest will be over. Why are reapers the reaping done? We reapers taken home, report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope he'll smile, and that he'll say, well done. Today we reap, miss our golden harvest. Are we going to miss out on this last opportunity? I thank God, Brother John, Brother Manna, for the soul winning bus. Men go out, Brother Peter. They just go out and pass tracts, and every week you come back with souls that are saved. We had in college testimony time. Took the seniors and then the juniors and a man and then a lady and then a sophomore class and then the freshman class and then I had the master's class. Men and lady, I just had them all. And it was so exciting just to hear those testimonies this morning. And everyone, I believe, I might be wrong, I believe everyone was about souls that have come to church. And this one, a 16-year-old girl, came last Sunday, and her dad and uncle wanted her to come because he said, I remember as a kid getting on that same bus, going to that same church. You've got to go, you've got to go. And she came and she got saved.
Praise the Lord.
And then they have so many kids and were told about all the wonderful things that were happening on their route. This family came in, these two families came, and every Sunday, and the B bus ministry, and thank God for the B bus ministry and the C bus ministry, and A ministry, B ministry, C ministry, D ministry. Thank God for the nursing homes. 12 or 15 or whatever we're in, and these are people that are knocking on the death's door.
Right.
One gave testimony today about a 90-year-old woman just said, thank you for coming. I love it when you come. I love singing these hymns. I love it. Thank God she's on death's door. That she won't live another 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 years. She is white already to harvest. God says, I want you to go harvest, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them from pity in the grave, weep or the weary. So you say, I'm not a soul winner. Well, let's go with somebody. I was a Bible school graduate, a staff member. I wasn't a soul winner. I wanted to be. I wanted to be a soul winner. I didn't know how to get started. I didn't know how to pull the bacon in. I didn't know how to do that, but I began to learn it. And I tell you what, I've been winning folks to Christ. I was flying in a few years back, and I'm always deathly afraid of flying. I hate flying. I hate it. Hate it. Hate it. And I'm on flights all the time. But I was flying in, and I saw a lady across the aisle. I was in the back of the plane, and she was just as nervous. We hit some heavy turbulence, and she said, I hate this. I said, I hate it too. And I began to witness to her. And you know, I watched her get so calm. Next thing I know, I didn't even know we were landing. We had landed, and she says, what's that? I said, we just landed. And she prayed and asked Christ to be her Savior. Amen. You know, I'm not a good soul winner, but I work at it all the time. I work at giving the gospel all the time. I work at telling people the good news all the time. I go to the hospital. I always walk the stairs unless I see a crowd by the elevator. And I go in the elevator and I pass tracts to all of them. I want people to know that Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
He's the only answer.
Amen.
You know, I'll close. D.L. Moody started his school and the Bible College in the late 1800s. He died in, I want to say, 1899. He's 58 years of age. But Moody started this Bible college called Moody Bible Institute. My dad, after World War II, my dad went there and he said, I want to be a student here. And he said, well, we have no room. He said, there's just no room. The war was over, men are coming home, and they get first priority. And they said, he said, I'll sleep anywhere. And he said, I'll sleep in the hallways. And they said, we already have beds in the hallways. You there's just no room for you. And they said, there's one class, a music class. You can take that music class. And one night a week, he went to that music class. Moody School, it's not this way today. Moody School was started for souls. And I read the account, a week or two ago, about Moody Bible Institute back in the 30s and 40s. And they said this, on Saturday, we'll get a load of kids, girls and guys, and we get on a bus Saturday evening. And we go downtown Chicago. And we get off the bus. He goes, when we get on the bus, he said, someone always starts singing, Brother Jackson, a chorus. And we start singing all the way to our destination. And we sing gospel hymns and gospel choruses. And I could just see it back in the 30s, early 40s. Just singing and praising God. Then they said, we get there and someone takes the trumpet out and begins to play the trumpet and some other instruments. And we begin singing a little bit. And once or two, three, four, five people stop. And then a girl will testify of her salvation, then a guy will testify, then we'll sing, and a few more come. And they said, they got on the bus that night. I read this just recently. They got on the bus that night. And on the bus, we took a report of all the decision cards. We had 38 come to trust Christ as Savior on the streets of Chicago tonight. You know, that's what that school was established for. BIOLA, Bible Institute of Los Angeles. It's a liberal arts. It's very liberal now. But R.A. Torrey, who was the assistant to D.L. Moody, started BIOLA. And we have it. They sent it to us when we started our college. They said, this is out of print. But the purpose of BIOLA was to train young people, 1902, to go to the beaches of Southern California and win people to Jesus Christ on the beaches in California. You know, that's our purpose. D.L. Moody said, everybody has engraved on their forehead when you looked at them an S or an L. Saved, lost. We've got to reach people. I want you to pray tonight over your one track. Did everybody get one? Did I miss anybody? I want you to pray for this one track that God will take it. Amen. And you'll give it to the right person and perhaps lead them to Christ. Our Father, I know the marks of a good Christian, the attributes, they're burdened for souls. They want to rescue the perishing, care for the dying. God, help us to attract some soul winners to the bus ministry, the Sunday school ministry, the ladies soul winning Tuesday morning, the teens soul winning Saturday, the college soul winning, the men's soul winning. God, help us to keep soul winning the main thing around here, reaching the lost for Christ. Lord, I believe you'll bless our church for reaching the lost.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.